everybody, and welcome to the Biathlon Podcast. We are well and truly in the business end of the season now. Last three rounds coming, and this week we'll have our first Crystal Globe winners. Who's in the running? Let's find out. Thanks for joining me, everybody, for another episode of the Biathlon Podcast, episode 85, for those of you who are keeping count. It's Tuesday, February 27th, and I'm your host, Will Provro. Quick episode today as we leave the World Championships in the rear view and look ahead to the climax of the World Cup season. As I said, just three rounds left. We're off to North America soon for Canmore and Soldier Hollow, but it's Oslo this week, traditional season finale, and Holmenkollen Park, where we will see our first champions decided with the final individual races of the season. We've also got some mass starts to look forward to, as well as the mixed relays on Saturday. As always, get in touch with your reactions, predictions, or questions. You can get in touch on the Facebook page, the Twitter page, or you can email me at thebiathlonpodcast@gmail.com. A couple of topics we're going to run through today. Some bad news for the Swedish team. Obviously, those individual globes. And we'll also have a quick look at the state of play in the overall race and what might happen in those mixed relays. But I will start off, as I said, with some sad news for any Swedish fans out there and for those of us who enjoy biathlon more generally, I guess, because some tough news from the Swedish team that two of the biggest stars there are not going to be in Oslo this week. Hanna Öberg, ill, apparently been ill for some time. She's not going to be in Oslo, but is planning to take the plane to North America. Also, Lynn Persson is going to be out with a shoulder injury. I couldn't get a good timing on how long she might be out, but you'd imagine that that's going to be a season ender for Lynn Persson. We're going to see some old names coming into the team. Joanna Schottheim will be into the team for the first time in a long while, actually. Obviously, remember a couple of seasons ago, I believe it was now, when the season opened in Kontiolahti. She had an amazing start in the individual. I think she was third and had a couple of good results after that and then just really, really fell off the pace. She's given interviews about the sort of tough time she's had with the sort of that aspect of the sport, the anxiety that comes with that expectation. So really good to see Schottheim back in the World Cup team. And also another welcome return for Stina Nielsen, who has been predictably unpredictable recently, up and down, couple of good results, couple of not so good results. But it's good that we'll see Stina Nielsen back in the team. But more broadly, I do think this is a bit of a tough look for the Swedish team, because we've been used to them in recent years being such a strong team, really since the 2018 Olympics, I'd say. And obviously before that, we've had superstars in the Swedish women's team. But we're getting closer and closer to a point now where Elvira Öberg is kind of the star carrying the hopes of the entire team. Obviously, Mona Brorson retiring at the end of this season, who's been ever-present in that team for a while now. Lynn Persson struggling after she had such a great season last year, coming away with medals in the World Championships back in Oberhof last year. But it's been a tough year for Persson. Brorson's looked good recently, but obviously that's only a short-term fix. Hanna just not really been at the races for a couple of seasons now. I think three or four seasons ago, you were looking at her as an overall contender. I think even at the start of this season, you were thinking, maybe wishful thinking, but that she might be able to have the consistency to do that. And she's had decent results this year, but they're very few and far between. And it's sort of becoming a bit of a trend that she starts off the season quite well, and then it dips off. Obviously, struggling with illness isn't going to help. And this isn't the first illness she's had this year. I think over Christmas she was also struggling, couldn't have Christmas with the family. For fear of giving them whatever lurgy she had there. So really tough year for Hanna. Glad that it's not the end of her season and that we will see her in North America. But yeah, you got to wonder about the future of this Swedish team and whether they're going to have to start getting in a few more youngsters and really putting the future first, because Elvira's obviously still so young. But if we're seeing the back ends of the careers of the likes of Brorson, who we know, but Pearson and Hannaberg as well, potentially, slightly worrying times for this Swedish team. But hopefully that's not the case, and we're going to see some good results here. I'd love to see Schottheim and Stina Nilsson getting some good results, because two very good biathletes in their own right, and it'd be really nice to see them getting into some form. Top 10, not out of the question, but I think if either of them get into really the top 25, I think they can count that as a very decent haul in the individual there. Obviously, you'd think, looking at their history, Schottheim has been dead-eye in the range at points in her career. Stina Nilsson, not so much. But the ski speed comes and goes with Stina Nilsson. So, you know, there's chances for either of them. And hopefully we're going to see some good shooting from the two of them. That's the Swedish team. But let's look a bit more broadly now. Because, as I mentioned at the start of the show, the first individual Globes are going to be decided very shortly. The women are off first. They go on Thursday. And at the moment, your leader in the individual race, individual rather than overall, Lena Heike-Gross, the winner in Antholz. She's leads the way with 117 points. Lisa Vitozzi, obviously ever present at the top of, or near the top of the individual standings. She's 2 points behind Heike-Gross. We've then got Vanessa Vogt, 7 points off the top. Preutz, 8 points, and then it's a bit of a bigger gap back to Caroline Njotton at 27 points behind, Simone at 32, and Jean Monod, who I think is probably the last athlete who's in with a chance of taking the Globe. She's 40 points behind. I'm sort of taking this as Vitozzi finishing in the top five, most likely. She does it pretty much every time there's an individual, although she didn't back in Antholz. She was a little bit further off there. So, you know, there are chances here for the other women. But if Vitozzi does finish in the top five, then a win for any of the other women there, be it Heike-Gross, Vogt, Preutz, Njotton, Simon, or Jean Monod, would win it for them. In terms of the form, I think you'd have to take Heike-Gross, Vogt, Preutz and Njotton, unfortunately, out of the running. I think it's a case of Simon versus Vitozzi versus Jean Monod. Ski speeds in the world, surprisingly, Vitozzi was actually quicker than Simon and Jean Monod. Simon, though, just brings back so much time in the range. We saw her shooting in Novo Mesto. It was unbelievable how quick she was rattling through the targets. So, I mean, that's going to cut a lot of time for her, but you do get the feeling that if any one of these three women shoots the perfect 20, then that Crystal Globe might be theirs. In terms of the odds for the race, Vitozzi and Simon are joint favourites at 5-2. Justine Brezard-Boucher is the third favourite at 9-2, and she could most certainly play a bit of a spoiler role in the race for the title here. Jean Monod, fourth favourite at 6-1. And in terms of predictions, it's a real tough one. Vitozzi top four probably wins the Globe for her. And you just look at Vitozzi's history in these individual races, and you do have to think that's well in her realm at the moment. Obviously, individual champion back at Novo Mesto. We then going back to when was the last one before that? We had the short individual, obviously, in Antholz. She was 16th there. That was the off day. But then the you go back, Östersund, that was a win for Vitozzi. Östersund last year, second. Oberhof last year, third. I mean, it's very rare. Ruhpolding last year, first. It's very rare that Vitozzi doesn't make the top four in an individual. So Vitozzi, not necessarily my favourite for the win, but my favourite to take the individual title this week. In terms of the win, I mentioned Justine Brezard-Boucher. The speed that she is skiing at the moment is just unbelievable. If that form's continued, and she did look good in an exhibition race over in Sweden recently, in the downtime since Novo Mesto, I think that Brezard-Boucher might be tough to beat. The shooting was looking good in the mass start in Novo Mesto. 9-2, I think Justine Brezard-Boucher, my favourite for the win. Vitozzi, my favourite for the Crystal Globe in this one. If you fancy a very long shot, we mention her almost every week because you kind of have to with the speed she skis at. Anna Maria Lampic, 300-1 to take that victory. So if you think this might be the day when Lampic hits, I mean, hits 100%, it'd be an amazing result if she hit 80% of the targets really in the individual. But if she can, that win there, 300-1, you know, put 50p on that and you'll win 150 quid. So like, there are worse bets to be made there. Over on the men's side, I think this one's pretty much sewn up. You have Johannes Tingas Bo, 29 points ahead of Roman Reese and 60 points ahead of his brother Taya. They're the only people in contention for the Globe, really. And I mean, Roman Reese, amazing start to the season, obviously part of that sort of German revolution that we had at the start of the season, wins all over the place from the German team. But I mean, since that opening day win, he's only had one top 10 finish. That was a 10th place in the short individual in Antolt. So I mean, his form is good in the individuals. Prone shooting is 92% at the moment on the season, but the stand only at 75. And that's, you know, that's really going to hurt him. To get 29 points on Johannes, you know, if he wins and Johannes is third, which I believe did happen in the opening round in Östersund there, if that happened, then he'd take the title. But I think it's unlikely that we're going to see Reese taking a victory here or seeing Johannes finish much lower down the order. So, unfortunately, I think Roman Reese is probably out of the running here. The other man in contention, Taya Bo, he'd need a win and he'd need Johannes Tingas to finish 12th or lower, by my reckoning. And I mean, if Johannes has a bad day, there's every reason to believe that Taya could do it. I mean, he was second fastest in Novo Mesto. He's bang on form at the moment. Did have that rough final shoot in the mass start where he had four misses. So you wonder if that might still be playing on his mind. But I think it's going to be very tough for anyone to beat Johannes Tingas in the race for the crown here. Not necessarily in the race for the win, because the individual, you know, a couple of misses can shake up the order. And in terms of the odds, the one that interested me was Sturla Holm-Lygrid, who admittedly his form seemed to fall off a bit of a cliff in Novo Mesto after that sprint gold medal that he took. But he's 11-1. I believe that's the sixth favourite. And I mean, the individual is his bread and butter. He hits 20 out of 20. I was going to say more often than not. That's not true. But it feels like more often than not. So good in the range. If the ski speed, you know, he's had a couple of weeks off since Novo Mesto. If he's got himself back into some sort of form on the tracks, then that feels like a pretty good bet to me. 11-1 for the victory. Johannes is 1-10 to give you some contrast there. The bookies are pretty sure that he's the man to beat, and they're not wrong there. But outside of the Norwegians, someone who's the bookies fancy more than Lygrid is Emilien Jacqueline. He's 9-1. But how about a resurgent Quentin Fillmaillet? Third fastest in the world individual. He's down at 25-1. Obviously got a couple of medals at the back end of the World Championships there. The French team finally looks to be getting, I mean, nowhere near back to its best, but back to some sort of competitive form. And Fillmaillet, again, in the individual, he's skiing a bit better now. He's traditionally very good in the range. So I fancy a fit to see Fillmaillet on the podium. Top spot might be asking a bit much, but at 25-1, he's my sort of long shot in the men's field there. That's the individuals. Obviously, they're not the only races that we've got in Oslo this weekend. We've also got the penultimate mass starts of the season, which is going to have a huge bearing on the overall race. And the biggest story in town, obviously, is that sort of, in my estimation, still six-way fight for the women's overall crown. Tangerold, your leader at the moment, but in all sorts of bother with her standing shooting in recent weeks. She leads the way with 719 points. Justine Brezard-Boucher in second, 30 points behind the Norwegian. Vitozzi, 48 points behind, so just 18 points behind Brezard-Boucher. We've then got Simone in close order as well. And then two women who are still very much in play if things break their way. That being Elvira Erberg. She's 117 points behind Tandrevold, and Jean Manot, who's 129 points behind the Norwegian as well. So they're very outside shots at the overall crown, with the number of races getting getting pretty tight at the moment. But they are still definitely in with a chance, because Tandrevold's form at the moment is not good at all. And so you've got to start, you know, if we look at her performances in Novo Mesto, 10th in the mass start, obviously had a tough relay as well when the Norwegian women only finished 10th, 27th in the individual, 34th in the pursuit, 25th in the sprint, working our way backwards there. A decent mixed relay to start things off, but the form isn't good for Tandrevold. So if that continues, then you're looking at Brésard Boucher actually being the leader. So that cuts 30 points off of the lead there, which puts Jean Manot within 100 points of the lead. And so going into that mass start, I fancy all of them to be there or thereabouts in the individual. Tandrevold's the big question. If she can get her standing shooting under control, then she's still skiing very well, so she can be right up there. Brésard Boucher, obviously, we know all about her. Vitozzi, Simon. Elvira did look a bit off the boil in Novo Mesto. So it's good that she's sort of the bigger question mark. Jean Manot was right on form in the World Championships, though. I mean, third place in the mass start for her, that was a brilliant result. And she looked like she could have been sort of right up there battling for gold, if not for that one miss. I mean, she hasn't been outside of the top 10 in absolutely ages. I think it's the mass start in Lenzerheide. You have to go all the way back to pre-Christmas. So in 2024, she's not finished outside the top 10 in any race at all. So, you know, Jean Manot's still there, and there's still a chance she could, you know, force her way in to into this battle here. Obviously, the individual to start off, that's really good for Jean Manot. She's shooting 93% on the year. That's 95 in the prone and 91 in the stand. So you'd have to expect that she's going to be up there in the individual. And then in the mass start as well, we've seen it recently. It's going to be tough to beat her. So in terms of the overall, that's the sort of state of play at the moment. If we look at the mass starts that we've had this season, Lenzerheide, all the top five, so that's Tandrevold, Brésard Boucher, Vitozzi, Simon, and Elvira. Jean Manot was ill that weekend. They were all in the top six. Hannah Erberg in third place was the one outsider there. In Antholz, and sorry, that was Justine Brésard Boucher who won that race. In Antholz, Simon took the victory. Jean Manot was sixth. Vitozzi ninth. Jean Manot was second in that one. Vitozzi was sixth. Brésard Boucher was ninth. Elvira 11th, and Tandrevold 17th. And then at the Worlds, again, we had them all up at the front. Brésard Boucher first, Vitozzi second, Jean Manot third. Simon 10th, Simon 4th, Tandrevold 10th, and Elvira 22nd on that day. That's probably confused way more people than it's helped out. So maybe ignore everything I just said there. Basically, Justine Brésard Boucher is probably the woman to beat in the mass start, but all of them are going to be in the mix. Simon, Vitozzi, and Jean Manot, you'd have to imagine, are going to be right up there with her. Elvira and Tandrevold, that's where the question marks are. There's the odds for the women's mass start aren't out yet, but as you might have guessed, I fancy Jean Manot to take at least one win this weekend in Oslo, whether it's the individual or whether it's the mass start. I feel like there's a win coming for her. She's just on red hot form, and you have to assume that the other win is going to come from Simon Vitozzi or Brésard Boucher. So that race doesn't look like it's going to be slowing down at all. If anything, it's probably going to be closer at the front of the women's overall standings after this week than it is going into it. On the men's side, obviously, mass start, your favourite is going to be Johannes Tingis. But there's something I thought was quite interesting looking at the odds for this. I mentioned that Jacques Lam was 9-1 in the individual, and Phil Maillet was down at 25-1. The bookies have got Quentin Fillmaret as the favourite non-Norwegian in the mass start. I think probably playing off of his bronze medal in the World Championships. That's fair enough, but I think Fillmaret I actually fancy more in the individual, and I think Jacques Lann could put the cat amongst the pigeons in the mass start. if he avoids overcooking it in the early stages, and I say if he avoids overcooking it, he does love to overcook it in the early stages of a race. So if we see Jacquelin miss one in the first shoot in the mass start and then suddenly appear at the front of the field after half a lap, then you can throw that out of the window because he's not going to be able to last at that pace. But yeah, of the non-Norwegians, I think I fancy Filmay in the individual, Jacquelin in the mass start. However, saying of the non-Norwegians is a big question mark because there are going to be Norwegians there. Obviously, Johannes Thing is going to be your favourite. I mentioned Tyre. I think he's going to have a good week here. Whether he's got it into winning the mass start, I'm going to say he will. He will. I think Johannes Dinges is undoubtedly going to win one of these races. It's just the form he's in at the moment. You can't imagine him not. But Tyler Bow 8-1 to win the mass start. I think that might be a decent bet there. We've seen a little bit of a reason to think that he could take the fight to his brother recently. So yeah, I'll take that for Tyler Bow there. Outside of those big names, obviously Rasta Guyev's had a great World Championships. He's all the way back at 33-1 for the victory. I wonder if that might be the best we see of Rasta Guyev's this season. Getting that silver medal, absolutely fantastic performance, obviously, to round out the World Championships. I'm not sure if we're going to see him repeat that, though, if I'm honest. A couple of names that I do like, though, Eric Perreault and Tommaso Jacquemel, a couple of young guns. They're both at 66-1 for the win. That'll probably roll down to about 7-8-1 to be in the top six. And I quite like both of those athletes for a good performance in the mass start. Obviously, the other races that we're going to have some mixed relays coming up on the Saturday. Coming up on the Sunday. Got myself mixed up there. We've got mass starts on the Saturday. Mixed relays on the Sunday. Slightly odd. If I was going for mass starts, I would always put them as the last races. They're pretty much always great races. But yeah, we've got the single mixed relay leading things off on the 3rd. That's in the morning. And then the mixed relay following up in the afternoon. And I think the big question going into those races is who's going to be rested? Because we have seen, you know, the French team, we've seen Simon Ambrose-Arbouchet sit out relays this season. Depending on what's happened in those individual mass starts, if someone's maybe dropped out of it, if Jean Monod has a tough race in the individual, doesn't do too much in the mass start, will we see her maybe looking to repeat the World Championship gold that she won there alongside, who was that alongside? Filmé, eh? Like, it seems so long ago now. It was Filmé, yeah. Filmé and Jean Monod. But if we do see someone rested, will we see both Brazier-Boucher and Simon rested? Will one of them get rested? One of them race? It's that'll be interesting to see the politics around that in the French team. I think outside of those questions, you'd fancy the Norwegians to be strong in the mixed relay. You'd imagine they'll go for the Burr brothers there again. Probably Knotten and Tandrevold. That's going to be the interesting wrinkle there. Tandrevold's form. I will say that the mixed relay is, it's women first, then the men coming on. So Johannes Thingnes is very likely going to be the anchorman for the Norwegian team. And that does change the complexion slightly. Knotten, a fairly safe pair of hands to take a lead-off leg. Tandrevold going second, and then if you're handing over to the Burr brothers after that, I'm going to take Norway for the win in the mixed relay. Single mixed, again, depending on how these teams are made up, if we do see a sort of Jacquemel and Vitozzi with a sort of weaker lineup around them, then that could be interesting. Very hard to predict, though, who's going to take a single mixed relay, because you just never really know who's going to be in contention there. But yeah, I think for the time being, let's go with a Vitozzi Jacquemel team for Italy, and if that's the case, I will take them for the win there. Let me know what you think. Obviously, get your predictions in. Let me know at the email or at Facebook or at Twitter. I think that will do me for today. Slightly quick one, but I hope you all enjoy the racing in Oslo. I'll be back next week to sum it all up and look forward to the following racing, which will be over in Utah for the first time in quite a few years now. Is it 2017, I think, the last time we were over in North America? But we will be there again for the races in Soldier Hollow and Canmore. So I'll be back next week to prepare you for all of that. In the meantime, enjoy all the biathlon, and I will see you down the road.